Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study titled, We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You can send comments, questions, and prayer requests to BBBFOhio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 211, West Jefferson, Ohio, 43162. Now we begin our study, titled, We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is part 1 of 2. All right, Ephesians 6, 12. Message is titled, We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood. We'll get into the study in just a moment with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can spend in your word. Just thankful for this gathering. Every time we get together, just a blessing. Just so thankful to be able to sing your praises with people who love you, to enjoy the fellowship of the saints and the unity that is in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that each of us as believers have in us as our seal unto the day of redemption. And Lord, we're just thankful for the time we can learn the word. Thankful for there's a number of people going to be listening online live, but thousands of others who watch and listen to these messages on the radio and on BBFOhioRadio.com and on other internet websites and sermon audio. And we're so thankful to be able to be there for a lot of those people who don't have a good local Bible-believing fellowship of believers. And we're just thankful to be able to be a blessing to those folks. We're also, we have a number of people who listen who do attend churches, and we just want to make them better equipped to serve you in that local church they're in. And Lord, we're all in this together, and we're not about making a big name for the Greg Miller or Bible Believers Fellowship or anything like that. We're all about making people think about Jesus.
Amen.
We're here to point people to Jesus Christ and His infallible Word.
Amen.
And so we just thank you for this time that we can teach. And for those who are listening, the Holy Spirit would help them. Even in my shortcomings, you can still use what is said.
Amen.
And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Ephesians 6:12, titled, We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood. And just to mention, you know, we're getting ready to get into the armor of God, but I'm purposely going to wait a couple of weeks before we get into that, because it's going to be about a 3-week series I'm going to do back to back to back. And so next week I'm going to take a week away from Ephesians and teach on something else that I want to, that's related to our other studies. But in Ephesians 6:12, we're going to read it, and I'm breaking it into two screens just so I can make it a little larger for everybody to see. We're going to read this one verse together, if you would join with me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to start by just making an obvious statement is this is why Christians don't, we're not a political party. And that's why we do support what God teaches about self-defense and defensive wars. But you won't find me getting all flag-wavy about wars that are aggressive, wars that are meant to, you know, expand an empire. But I unapologetically support our war against Islamic terror. Because that's the place of the government. Romans 13, 1-6, go read it. God says that's the place of government. But that's not how we fight. And we don't, I've heard people even say, we should go over and overthrow that dictator and take over that country and blah, 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 because it'll open up for missionaries. And my response to that is that that's not our calling. And we don't conquer the way Islam has through the sword. We conquer with the preaching of the word.
Amen.
And just that little bit of a introduction there, but I say I'm sorry because some of you may get tired of seeing this stuff, but it's important. It's important
Amen.
That we show the examples of the perversion of the Bible. One of the ways that Satan is successfully destroying churches and people in their personal walk with him is to corrupt the Bible.
Yep, that's right.
And this is what you just read in a, I call it the mess. It's a little thing called the message. And it's really a hot seller among Christians. A lot of Christians read this thing. This one says, Ephesians 6:12. And I'm going to give it the voice that I hear when I read it.
This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels.
See, that's what I hear when I read that.
Oh, wow.
Let me just say this. That is not what it says. That is not the Bible. That is a satanic joke.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's why I'll always mock it and make fun of it.
Amen.
Because the only thing other than to do is to condemn it.
Amen.
That's the only thing else to do with that. And listen, the reason they do it is for this.
Yeah.
1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yep.
And they come out with these things, and the reason they come out with so many is because every publisher has to have its own in order to make all the money off of it. And they have to make a certain number of changes, or they can't claim a copyright.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with updating the language and making it more clear for you.
Amen.
And I can prove that to anybody who wants to see that, but there's actually others who've done the work. They'll show where, for example, the NIV... They'll take the NIV and they'll show all the archaic words in the NIV. They claim that the King James is archaic. So what they do, they bring out a new translation where they insert archaic words.
Wow.
So that they can get a copyright.
Yep,
because it's about money. It's not about helping you understand the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
So with that, we'll move... That's how I feel when I read that. People send me this stuff every once in a while. Have you seen how this Bible says this? And that's what I look like. Ah! We have to understand what is behind the battle. Amen?
Amen.
See, it's a motive for money, but the motive for money is driven not by God's Spirit, but by another spirit.
Yeah.
And this is reality. We notice that the battle is not with our flesh. What's it say?
Wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That includes your own. If you're wrestling with your flesh and blood, then that means you're losing the battle without even really putting up a fight.
Yeah. Amen.
J. Vernon McGee put it this way: it is well to note that the flesh of the believer is not the enemy to be fought. The believer is to reckon the flesh dead and to yield to God. If you're battling with your flesh, it's simply for one reason. You're choosing to.
Right. Yeah.
Anybody, every day when you wake up, you can just say, today, I am not my own God.
Amen.
Today, I'm not going to do what Greg Miller wants to do. You know, all the talk shows and everything. Get yourself some happiness. You need to think about you. Love yourself. That's a satanic message. You will not find fulfillment in that, and that's why the suicide rate is so high, the divorce rate is so high, the murder rate is so high, the drug abuse rate is so high. You will not find fulfillment in worshiping yourself.
Amen.
You reckon your flesh dead, and you yield to God.
Amen.
And I always will say this when I... can always think of it. Not standing up here saying, be like me. I have arrived. I never think of me. I'm always thinking of the Lord and others. Always. That's how some people act, and they're liars. It's not true. I have to battle every day.
Amen.
There are days where I wake up and I don't think to myself, Greg, you're not it. There are some days I get up and all I'm thinking about is Greg. But at some point, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you, and you should say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord.
Amen.
Let's put you back on the throne."
Amen.
Paul said, "I die daily."
Amen.
That was Paul. He's way farther along in the spiritual walk than I am. And yet Paul said, "I die daily."
Amen.
He didn't arrive. "Oh, it's so good not to have to battle anymore. It's so good to have arrived." Paul never said that. The only battle with your flesh is to yield to God.
Amen.
And some of you may need to write that down and put it on a piece of paper, a sticky note on your mirror in the bathroom, and look at it every morning. Reminder, note to self. Die. Some of you didn't find that funny. I think it's hilarious. Wake up and look at the sticky note on the window or in the mirror. Put it in your rearview mirror in your car, you know. You turn on that carnal music, you know, singing about sex, singing about all things worldly. And then you look up, it says, "Note to self, die." Singing about click.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
Amen.
Turn that stuff off. Or not to yield to your flesh to sin. Amen. But when you do, it's not because there's a battle. It's simply because you're choosing. That's a choice you make. How many of you know this? Alcohol and alcoholism, as you hear of it, it's a fairy tale.
Amen.
Drunkenness is a sin.
Amen.
There's not a disease.
Amen.
You make a choice to drink. You make a choice to overindulge, and you make a choice to do that so much that you become dependent upon it for your feeling that you want.
Amen.
It's not a disease.
Amen.
It's a choice.
Amen.
And smoking.
Amen.
Will smoking send you to hell? No, but it just makes you smell like it.
Amen.
But it'll kill you. You can love God, go to church, give your offering, sing the songs, do all the things, and smoke. And then die way sooner than you otherwise might. Also, a lot poorer. Have you seen the prices on those things?
Right.
I see anybody smoking, I'm thinking, there goes your car payment.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But you made a choice one day to start, didn't you? And you make a choice to continue. It's not a disease. All this stuff, you need to look it up and research it. It's all based on godless psychology.
Amen.
There is psychology that can be based in truth.
Amen.
I mean, psychology, technically, medically, you're studying people and their thoughts and their actions and their choices and what might affect those things and all that. But most of what's out there today is based on a sick pervert named Freud.
Right.
Oh, tell me about it.
Not
Amen.
God's Word.
Amen.
So, enough of that. I won't linger on about it. But look at this. Romans 6:13 is the negative. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." Again, positive thinking is insanity. Everything, a battery works with positive and negative.
Amen.
God is positive and negative.
Amen.
God's Word is positive and negative.
Amen.
And He starts with the negative. If you want to be sinned, you have to start with the negative. I am lost, I am a sinner, and I'm on my way to hell.
Amen.
Negative, negative, negative. That's the only way you'll ever get saved. Start with that negative. And in this, "We neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." And then there's the positive, all in the same verse. "But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead."
Amen.
I mean, just think about the people with their excuses. They go into a bar, pick up a significant other, and fornicate. And then they talk like it's something they just can't control. And it's just, "I don't know what gets into me. And blah, 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 blah." You made a choice to go in the joint to find the person to jump into bed with.
Amen.
And you made choices every step of the way. Stop pretending that you can't help it. Amen. You're making a choice.
Amen.
And your members. That's talking about your body parts. Including the ones we just kind of implied you're using. Keeping it clean here, mothers. But you know what I'm saying. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Sex in marriage is righteous. But outside of marriage is unrighteous.
Amen.
Whether it's hetero or homo, outside of marriage is unrighteous.
Amen.
Amen. Once yielding our flesh to God, we can then face the real enemy. Satanic forces of various ranks and levels. Now we can say, kind of collectively, Satan is our enemy because he's the head of this whole, you know, army. But we need to understand Satan's not an equal with Jesus. We've repeated this on numerous occasions. He's not at all places at all times. And you need to understand that there are hordes of devils out there working against Jesus. Amen. And working to bring you down.
Amen.
Matthew Henry, how many of you heard of that commentary, Matthew Henry's commentary?
Amen.
He says, against the several ranks of devils who have a government which they exercise in this world. And see, the problem is when you can go to extremes with this. Years ago, I read a book where, I mean, it had everything detailed where it was like reading a history of World War II. You had all, like, names even that they threw on some of the angels. I'm like, where did they get that? I've never seen that in the Bible. What they do is they go to things like the non-biblical, not inspired of God Book of Enoch.
Yeah.
And then they also rely on people who had visions and saw angels. And, you know, they... What's funny is the angels they always see, they come up with these names. Like, an angel visited me and said their name was Anastasia. And then came Atlantis. And then Fred. Why are none of the angels named Fred? Or Harry? Hark. The herald angels sing. There should be a herald up there that they call Harry for short. That's one of the ways you kind of know that this is all fictitious and made up. They make it so... And there's nothing in the Bible about angels outside of Gabriel and Michael. Did you know that? Any other named angel comes from something outside of the Bible. Now what do we do with that? We look at the Bible, Acts 17, 11. We search the Scriptures to see if that's so. And when it's not, then we reject it. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we reject the Book of Enoch.
Amen.
I say that because there are tens of thousands of Christians out there who actually are trying to claim that Book of Enoch should be in the Bible. And it's inspired and all this. And we know it wasn't written until after the Old Testament was closed. Part of it, and a lot of it was written after the New Testament was closed.
Right.
So don't fall for that nonsense. But the Bible does teach what he says here, that there are ranks of devils. And there's a government. There is a government. Just like God has government. Do you know that? You know what? When Jesus was prophesied, he said, the government shall be upon his shoulders. We find that so strange because all we think of is church. Well, in this age, that's all we have going on is church in the tangible that we see. But we're in the kingdom of God. There's a government. I want to show you the enemy ranks as listed here in the text. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what?
Principalities.
Principalities. And the head of these is the prince we discussed back in chapter 2. Think of the word principality. The word prince. Principality. That's where the word comes from. Back in chapter 2 we read... of the principality, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Satan, known as the devil, Isaiah 14 called Lucifer, and the adversary, and other names. And by the way, we're not going to be able to cover everything that the Bible tells us about Satan and the devils today. That would take weeks.
Amen.
What we are doing is, as we come across this in our studies of books, we're giving you what is there. And so we're going to look at what God gives us here about it. But there's much more for you to learn.
Amen.
So the first enemy rank is principalities. Next, we have a general reference to powers. Okay? It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Now, this is a bit of a, I believe, a, helps us understand what we're reading here. Quotation says, the scriptures clearly teach. This is A.C. Gabelain, by the way. He's an old preacher from the early to mid-20th century. The scriptures clearly teach that there is a vast dominion of darkness over which Satan is the head. Now, folks, this that statement right there, totally foreign to the rest of the world. If you talk to most people today and start talking like this, they think you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell people, don't bother. When you're talking to the unsaved world, you know what? They need to know they're lost.
Amen.
They need to know the gospel. They need to be confronted with their wickedness. And you don't have to be mean about it, but you can just let them know, you know, that's a sin. The Bible says that's a sin. That's why we need to be saved. That's why the Bible says Christ died for our sins. See how I did that?
Yeah.
But trying to straighten them out on their knowledge of the satanic forces and all that, that's for saved people to understand. Amen?
Amen.
Are you saved today?
Amen.
Then you should want to know this.
Amen.
The scriptures clearly teach that there's a vast dominion of darkness over which Satan is the head, and that as the God, small g, as the God of this present age, he has rulers over this world and a large army of wicked spirits in the heavenlies. See, the rulers, there are rulers in this world who are of flesh and blood, but they've got a spirit in them.
Yeah.
When you read the history of Lenin,
yep,
Stalin, Mao, and you read Hitler, you read the Armenian genocides, the history of Muhammad, by the way.
Yeah.
What you're reading are examples of devil-possessed people.
Amen.
And they kill and they rape without conscience. But, and this isn't an excuse, but you're not just talking about men. You're talking about men who are controlled by devils. But they're responsible because they gave themselves over to it. It's like the person who shoots up and then goes out and kills somebody. Why? The courts hold them responsible. Why? Because they made the choice to shoot up. Well, when you open yourself up to the devil and one of his minions, no matter what you do under their influence, you're responsible. You're the one to open yourself up to it. Continues, he is the prince of the power of the air. The sphere above the earth, the aerial heavens and beyond are tenanted, like tenants in a building, tenanted by these wicked spirits, which under the headship of Satan form with principalities and powers his kingdom. How mighty this being is. What powers are at his disposal. How vast his dominion. How numerous the fallen angels. The wicked spirits which possess the heavenly places, no saint has ever fully realized. Nor can it be known, be all known, till the day comes in which the God of peace shall bruise Satan completely under our feet. Satan has even access into heaven itself. The first two chapters of the book of Job acquaint us with this fact. If you haven't read that lately, go back and read it. First couple, and also 1 Kings 22, 19 to 23. But Satan himself is no match for God.
Amen.
But he's got so many devils and so many human beings who are willing accomplices helping his cause.
Yeah.
And we do well to take heed and to face it as a reality. It's real, folks. So you have principalities and powers in the enemy ranks. Next, we warn about fallen angelic rulers. Rulers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I believe this refers to those who literally indwell men and women. Men and women of power are indwelt. I believe that. We see an example of what I'm talking about in Daniel 10. We see It's been a while since you read Daniel 10. We're going to be studying on a Wednesday night. Just a few verses taken from that chapter about this strange world that we don't see with our eyes, but we know it's there. Daniel was being held in Babylon. He had prayed, but his answer had been delayed. And a lot of times we just think God's, you know, just kind of toying with us and, yeah, I'm going to let him sweat it out a little bit. There's actually, according to the Bible, a warfare going on in the heavenlies that we don't see. And right here it tells us that prayer can be delayed because of that warfare, and your job, your place, is to pray fervently without ceasing and wait on the Lord to give that answer. But sometimes the answer is delayed because there's a battle. And somebody asked me, he said, why do you think God doesn't let us see any evidence of that or anything? I said, well, He does let us see evidence. You know, I think we can see evidence of it as we look at current events or look at the world, what's going on. You look at Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel should have been wiped out. Why weren't they? Because God's on their side.
Amen.
Michael, their prince, is doing battle for them. Okay? But I think there's one good reason why He doesn't let us see the actual battle going on. We can't handle what we do see.
Amen.
I mean, you can imagine looking up and seeing that going on. We'd all have bunkers. Amen? But Daniel 10 says in verse 12, "Then said he unto me," this angelic messenger, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Now in the text it doesn't say it's Gabriel. And there's a lot of debate about whether it's Gabriel or not. I'm just not going to add to what the Word says. It doesn't say for sure it's Gabriel, so we're just going to let it stand. But this angel of the Lord does say that God heard, and I'm come for thy words. But look what it says in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now you read Daniel 10, 1 through 11, it's clear this is an angel speaking. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, it wasn't like the guy didn't have his immigration papers, amen? He wasn't delayed because he didn't have his passport. This is an angelic prince of the kingdom of Persia. Withstood me 21 days. 21 days! His prayer was delayed 3 weeks. And we talked about this last week, people blaming the devil for things, you know. This is a case where you could be blaming God for being so slow. Well, it wasn't God. God sent the answer, but there's a battle. And of course, we can always ask why God just doesn't cause the angel to be able to blow away the adversaries and answer in an hour. You know, that kind of questioning would just drive you mad. I mean, there's a lot of things God does we don't really understand why. But I just put it on this level. God even gives angels free will. And God allows this to play out. He's going to win. But in the meantime, there's a lot of battles going on. And even the angels have to follow His directions and His commandments and His directives, or they'll fall. How many of you have been taught that there a third of the angels fell with Lucifer? You heard that? The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible does not teach that. Read from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a third fall with Satan in the future in Revelation 12. You know where people got that was? They read commentaries by people who spiritualized the Bible. And in the commentaries by a lot of the people who wrote commentaries years ago, they would spiritualize Revelation.